It's time to talk audio description. Now, this really opens up the world of television, cinema, the arts, visitor attractions for blind and partially sighted people. If we're to take television, for example, or cinema, then audio description is a narrative track which plays, usually via headphones, which plays between actors' dialogue, and it kind of paints a picture of what's happening on screen. So what's maybe the actors are up to, what they're wearing, what's happening on the set and so on. And it's been growing and getting better and better in the UK. In fact, the UK is probably an exemplar version of how audio description is really crossing the media. To catch up on some of the latest news around audio description, I'm joined by Sonali Rai from RNIB. Sonali, thank you for joining us.
Alan, thank you very much for having me. Always a pleasure.
So let's start first of all with some news on television. Now, there's an Ofcom consultation around EPG. So what are EPGs, and tell us about the consultation?
So EPG is the electronic program guide. That's the guide that gives you information on what program is on which channel, at what time, and it gives you information about the program. So the consultation is actually underway now, and it is seeking views on the proposed changes to the code of practice on the electronic program guides. The aim is to make EPGs easier to use for people with sight loss. Now, there has been some progress on this front in the past few years, I'd say. EPG providers have a range of solutions. Some allow users to switch to a high contrast display. Others allow people to magnify the display, increase the font size. There is the ability to search for programs with audio description. Panasonic and then Samsung a few years ago on their smart TV range introduced integrated text-to-speech as a standard function that was in addition to zoom and high contrast. So it's great to see this progress, but I think there needs to be a consistency in the experience that's offered to people with sight loss. For example, audible menus across the board, which will allow people to use TV devices independently. Development is there, but it's fragmented and quite patchy, so we welcome this consultation.
That does sound a great opportunity for people to feedback, Sally. And, you know, from my point of view as someone who is blind, you know, I can use a screen reader and I can use the internet, I can use emails and so on, I use smart devices, but my television, I'm still very, very limited in what I can do. And more and more televisions becoming smart and having, you know, lots of guides and menus to go through, it really is crucial, isn't it?
Absolutely. And there is considerable quantity of audio description on UK television. Of course, that doesn't mean that we can't have more. There's always room for more. But because of how much there already is, and we have viewers who are experienced users of audio description, they have steered and fed into its development, I believe there's an expectation that this provision now extends into, you know, the whole ecosystem, and there are more improvements as we go along.
Okay, we'll have more news later on in that consultation scenario. What I'd like to do now, though, is look back. We spoke with you a couple of months ago, and you had a call out for people to come along to a film showing in London to test a new way of delivering audio description. So tell us about that, and what were the results of that day?
Thank you very much for drawing attention to that trial. So it was the trial of Movie Reading App, an app that allows synchronization of audio description with the main asset. So it could be a film or it could be a TV program. For now, we are focusing on cinema delivery. So earlier this year, we invited audio description users who go to the cinema regularly to come and join us at the Covent Garden Odeon to watch Beauty and the Beast and use audio description on the movie reading app. The response that we've had is overwhelmingly positive. People love the experience, mainly because it just sets you free. You have your phone, the phone that you use for shopping, for banking, for entertainment, and now you're using it to receive audio description. By that, we completely appreciate it's not a solution that's for everyone. Not everyone uses a smartphone. So this will become an alternate way of receiving description for those people who like to stay connected and have used smartphones all the time.
Okay, so you have the app and you have your phone and your headphones. So presumably that means that you can go to the cinema anytime you like, providing that the audio description is there. You download it beforehand, get to the cinema, and when the film starts, you just start your AD.
Absolutely. That's exactly how it works. Any screen at any time. And it just works for you, the description. And you're no longer tied to the cinema's only those cinemas that deliver audio description. Of course, I think the cinemas in the UK have done quite well. A lot of them deliver description. However, the hardware that they have at the moment is good and it's worked well for a while. But I think with improvements in technology, now there is a facility that can be used for people who use smartphones and like to stay connected.
So when you start the audio description track, Sonali, how does it synchronize with the film so it all sounds as it should sound?
Yeah, so it uses fingerprinting. Alan, I'm not the most technical person in the world, but simplifying it, so it uses time codes. So for it to work well, there needs to be audio clues. And I think it syncs every 3 seconds and then 7 seconds, increasing it to 14 seconds. It will stay in sync once the track has synced with the film track.
So it was overwhelmingly, as you say, you know, a success and people really liked it. Are there plans to perhaps run a bigger pilot around the UK?
Definitely, I think that has to be the next step, because at the moment we've had two trials so far. We had one in 2015 where the target was video on demand service users, so people who use services like Amazon Instant or iTunes or Sky, and then we had the cinema trial with a smaller group, a focus group of 40 people. But I think now we need a UK-wide campaign and a UK-wide pilot test of the app to understand how it works, and not just on one screening. So you went for to watch one film, it worked well. We want people to go back and use it a few times and then come back with what they think about the app. Are there any improvements that can be made? Or is this the right way to go or not?
Now, one more thing I'd like to mention to people is, although, you know, audio description is there, it's getting better in the UK, sometimes the delivery, say, for watching TV, sometimes it's not the greatest, there's poor sound quality or issues around that. So the message would be really to make it known that there are issues and you know, complain about it if you like. What's the best way for people to do that?
So the easiest way would be to drop us an email at broadcasting@rnib.org.uk, but I would encourage viewers to go through to the service providers, and by that I mean the broadcasters. So if it's something that you've seen on ITV or BBC or Sky or Channel 4, make sure it's the broadcasters who hear about the complaint first and then it comes through to us. But if you like, we can always get in touch with the broadcasters on your behalf. So we need to know the name of the program, when it was aired, which channel, and preferably if you can tell us which platform as well. So whether it's Freeview, Sky, Virgin, or whichever service you use, make sure you let us know so we can pass all the details on to the broadcasters who can investigate.
The more detail, the better. Well, a few things for us to mull over there, Sonali. We'll catch up again very, very soon and update our listeners on some of the topics we've been discussing. But for the moment, Sonali Rai, thank you for speaking with us on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Alan.